We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Matt Miller.
There are a couple guys on staff that I would consider. And I know like that might be boring to like, why would you want to go in-house? There's no connection to Chuck Pagano. There's no connection to Greg Williams, where you would say with Matt Nagy's background that he's going to be friends with one of these guys to go get them. I think Ed Donatell could be a very good defensive coordinator. And then like a sneaky hire would be Jay Rogers. I happen to think he's one of the best defensive line coaches in the NFL. You can go back to when he was in Denver, look at what they did with their front now with Chicago's success that he's had with guys like Hicks and Goldman and obviously like Khalil Mack. But I think those are two names that would be somewhat interesting as guys that you would just elevate up the ladder and try to keep some continuity.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Happy Friday, Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. John Morosi of MLB Network, Fox Sports, MLB.com. We'll talk baseball at 10. Midday Midway at 11. Mark Schanowski, 11:40. Patrick Manley, noon. We got a pair of passes to the Cubs convention for January 18th through the 20th. You can win those by listening to this show. And three more chances to win $1,000. It's a good way to get into your weekend with an extra grand in your pocket. So we'll give you three opportunities with nothing more than a lucky text to win that. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. There is texting. There is Happy Friday sexting. It's 67011. You do that and we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Download it.
And then you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook when you like the 670 The Score page. You want to watch us?
You can
do that.
Hi.
I'm Natalie attired, hi, as always.
Yeah, it's a nice little saloon there you're representing.
I can't get whatever these Cheetos stains are off
those
of
those are permanent. Yeah.
I don't ever.
You have, they're in there now. They're part of the very fabric of that hoodie.
It's sort of like when you make.
Those are Cheetos?
I don't know what it is. It's orange. I don't know.
Looks more like a nacho cheese to me.
You know what it reminds me of? You know when you make SpaghettiOs in Tupperware or Gladware?
Yes.
And if there's any scratch in the plastic, you get permanent
for decades
SpaghettiOness
or decades.
Any like Chef Boyardee red sauce, anything like
really,
that.
Really, if you keep any kind of marinara in the Tupperware, like you save the spaghetti that you made one night, you save it overnight. It's just orange.
It's reddish orange forever.
Yep.
It is automatic. And
you are wearing orange Tupperware.
Yes, you're not.
That's what's going on.
You're not
with
supposed
right now
to season your Tupperware like it's cast iron.
No,
but if it's something you know, it's well worn if it's got that. And those cameras, that's the video feed directed by Brian Gersh. It's at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. We have producers. Also, that's how Jay got orange. Jay was actually
marinara left in too long.
Jay was completely clear, and then he submerged himself in SpaghettiOs, and now he's that. That's
sorry.
No apologies. No, please don't feel compelled to apologize.
The SpaghettiOs bath.
He's like the Bacta bath.
Yeah, just immersed. Yep, he's slowly healing with the power of Chef Boyardee.
He's Jay Zawoski.
The top five quarterbacks, according to moi, going into this week's playoff.
Lord.
Number five, give it to me. Tom Brady, go to number four on the list. Give it to me. Dak Prescott, number three on the list. Philip Rivers, number two on the list. Give it to me. Patrick Mahomes, let's get to number one on the list. Give it to me right now. Andrew Luck, there is no Nick Foles. I am so sick and tired of everybody talking about Nick Foles.
Hold on.
I'm tired of this Cinderella miracle man.
That's not even. By the way, Foles belongs on the list. But so does Drew Brees belong on that list.
Yes,
you don't have him in the top five. Now, here's the thing about Tom Brady.
I just forgot about him.
That makes my skin.
fucking call.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to come in at 11. I'm going to take it right to a 15.
That whole thing makes my skin crawl.
Why is it? Why are you whole time?
People choose to watch that.
I know.
How?
Like, that's a torture mechanism.
He's yelling as though these rankings have been given to him by God, then gets to the end and says, oh, I forgot about Drew Brees.
Right. It's like Moses coming down
these
from Sinai.
These are the immutable laws of football. And, I forgot about Drew Brees.
I forgot thou shalt not kill.
The only credit he gets is having a voice every day. Because if you're doing that for that many hours,
what sort of SpaghettiOs therapy does he need to keep his voice all day?
We need to immerse him in SpaghettiOs. And before people get mad at you,
what?
SpaghettiOs are not Chef Boyardee. They're Franco-American, right?
I don't know. I was not a SpaghettiOs or Chef Boyardee family.
What?
We never had that stuff growing up.
Why?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
I really don't know.
What, were you born in a barn, man?
Yeah, come on.
The first time I remember having anything like Chef, it was high school when we had like raviolis and SpaghettiOs and stuff. I had never had that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
It was really weird, too, because
wasn't part of the diet.
Last night, I asked my son what he wanted for dinner, and he said, this is going to sound strange. He said, can I have a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup?
Oh, that we had a lot.
I said, Chunky? He goes, no. He said, I just want the regular, classic red and white thing. It just says chicken noodle.
The one that only has like three noodles in it and four pieces of chicken and the rest is broth.
I had a sip. I forgot how good that still is.
It's a bowl of wet salt.
It's delicious.
It's so salty. And I said, why do you want it? He said, because we have it at Nana and Papa's house, mm-hmm. and it's very comforting, and I just have a taste for it.
And what you do, you kick that up a notch. You take a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers, pound those into powder.
We talked about it.
Throw them straight into the soup. That's the way you do that.
To have more salt and more fat. That's
right.
Why not?
It maybe sounds really good.
On the board, Rick Camp.
They always have signs, please clean your stuff out of the fridge. Keep stuff out of the fridge. Keep it clean and stuff. It is a disgrace. Usually when a refrigerator reeks like this one does, it's got to be open. This one doesn't need to be open. It's closed. Our original studio is on Belmont Avenue. You could probably smell this all the way over there. I would love to take this fridge and dump it in the Chicago River. The only problem is it would pollute the river. And just so that everybody knows, I'm not making this stuff up, Julio. I mean, this is absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, it's a pretty vile smell.
No, it's not that good. It's not that good.
That's horrendous.
Horrendous and vile would be an improvement of what this thing is. Absolutely terrible. This is basically the way I would describe this fridge here.
Yeah, here it comes.
Did the train run over a teacup?
Yeah, it did.
What just happened?
It did. Here comes the big freight train to take
it's
on.
It's coming.
All those big glass freight trains that they run into. What? It kept going, too.
Wait, that's his train wreck sound effect?
Right into a teacup. You got the bell. Obviously, the large train.
Right.
It's coming. You can hear it getting closer.
It's an 18-wheeler.
Very worried.
The intersection.
Oh, the humanity!
No!
Not the China!
The good stuff, too! That was the sugar bowl! How dare he!
What are we gonna do for Christmas next year? That was all of Mom's good stuff!
And actually, the fun that we're having...
That sounded like at least two or three plates breaking.
It overshadows what was a really good Les Grobstein impassioned rant,
actually.
Oh,
he's 100% right. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. That fridge
that led off the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was let's spend the night together right into the fridge smells awful.
It smells like cold death is what it smells like. It smells like cold death.
That's great.
It's terrible.
In the back doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
Speaking of the playoffs, just ahead, how the Bears kicker is feeling in the wake of that almost game winner. He is an extraordinary guy. We're going to ask Cody Parker in an exclusive live interview.
Bam! Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. A winner!
There's a lot of things that Cody Parkey may be. Extraordinary is Far from it.
That was...
He's an unbelievably ordinary person.
That was very... It was bizarre.
It was ridiculous.
The interview was bizarre. The premise was bizarre. The questions that were asked.
It was surreal. It was... And I am told, by the way, that the Bears are not happy.
Oh, really?
Yes. I did ask. I found out that the word that my Bears source used was there are... That they felt it was ridiculous.
It really was. And I, you know, some of the pushback against those who have felt like kind of weirded out by the interview or wrong place, wrong time, or maybe don't do this 5 days after your season comes to a crashing end and you hit six uprights on the way to doing this interview. Like all of those things. And I get those feelings. The pushback to that has been by those who either watch the show or understand TV morning show producership more than I do, is that the audience for that interview is not you and I. It's not Bears fans. It's not the us that generally listens to the show. It's a different kind of audience. I just don't know who needs to hear Cody Parkey go on an apology tour. Like who?
But he's not. It's not an apology tour because it was supposed to happen as preordained by higher powers. He's merely a vessel for divine forces.
It gave us time to reflect on the season, and just honestly to get back to people, you know, realize how many people, you know, that are in our corner and that love us, and yeah, it just gave us time to reflect and realize how blessed we are.
That's Cody Parkey on what is apparently a tradition of going home when the season is over.
I'm all for a long drive to clear the cobwebs. Yeah, those have been therapeutic for me in the past. I was headed to Minneapolis to go see my brother in college, and I just had, you know, it was a breakup and she cheated and the whole thing. And I ended up in northern Wisconsin instead of driving over to Minnesota.
Okay.
You get some stuff right in your brain when you're driving around.
I like driving through Wisconsin and Minnesota. I did it last summer.
I was trying to drive through Minnesota instead of Wisconsin was the problem. I was supposed to take a left at some point and I never did.
Yep.
I never did. But I don't know. This whole interview was a big left turn.
Yeah, the whole thing was bizarre. I love hearing though when I hear the cuts from John Heyman, his voice. I love the John Heyman voice and accent. All I can picture is if you go to a deli counter on like Houston Street on the Lower East Side,
okay,
and if a potato knish started talking. It would sound exactly like John Heyman. Like if you do a bunch of psilocybin or peyote and you walk into the deli, you walk into like Russ and Daughters, you go to Katz's and you look at the cold case and there's a potato knish there and it all of a sudden it becomes anthropomorphized and begins speaking.
It's like Sausage Party.
It'll sound exactly like John Heyman. That's just how I would imagine it as I imagine food talking to me. But that's the way my mind works because I'm a weirdo.
Mully mentioned this in transition about that because I can't get myself past the Cody Parkey interview on the Today Show. I really can't. I don't understand how this is good for Cody.
It's not.
Who pitched him this?
It's not.
As a thing that will help you as one of the worst kickers in the game last year. How will this help you get the next job if indeed you're thinking, maybe I'm not long for Chicago? Maybe the Bears don't want me around all that much. How does this help you go back into the room with your players?
How does keeping your name out there I don't really see a whole lot of upside to this.
He did at his locker after the game. He was there. He was ready to interview. That's the other, good morning. Today's show's calling it like the first interview he's done since missing the kick. No. He had an entire press corps surrounding him after a playoff miss where he answered honestly and earnestly a lot of really tough questions, and I gave him a ton of credit for sitting there in front of his locker and answering questions after he screwed up. He deserves credit for that. I'd like to take some of that back after the national apology tour. I don't know how this benefits anything or moves anybody forward.
In other news, and this will make your weekend, guess who's interviewing to be potentially the head coach of the Miami Dolphins?
Cody Parker.
No.
It's Cody.
No. Guess who is interviewing?
Well, let's see.
Ian Rappaport reported this.
Richern had it in there, and then no, Adam Gase left. It leaves open a lot of things. It's a tough management situation there. The ownership from Miami is just all kinds of screwed into the ground. Who, Dan, is interviewing for that job? What luminary of football is interviewing for the Dolphins job?
Should I read you the tweet verbatim?
Please, yes.
This is Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
While an opportunity awaits with the Jets to be Adam Gase's new offensive coordinator, there's a bigger one first. Dolphins offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins,
a.k.a. Doodoo Butt,
will interview for Miami's vacant head coach job later today.
Nothing says no one around the league respects me like Miami interviewing Dowell Loggins for the head coaching job.
And somewhere, Steve Wilkes just shot out his television like Elvis. I mean, if seriously, some people around there, if you're like, come on.
What in the hell is going on?
Tom in New Lenox, you're on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Hi, guys. I have a question for you. Cody Parkey's actions are kind of saying, please get rid of me. Do you think it's going on here? He knows it's going to irritate the team. It's his way of getting cut because then he gets out of the situation. And I'm not quite sure, but I think he's owed some money on his contract.
A lot of money.
Yes.
He's getting paid either way.
I'm very sure he's owed a lot of money. Yeah, it just, I don't think he's thought it through that much.
No, I mean, pretty clearly during the interview, you could tell that he hadn't really thought through. Nobody helped him think this through. And that's where, you know, some of this goes to the Bears, doesn't it? Like their week of going dark hasn't helped either the Trey Burton story much, and it hasn't helped the Cody Parkey story much. They had an opportunity to take the narratives that were going to be around their team because of performances or lack thereof of their own players. They had an opportunity to take that and shape it and explain it.
I also think, too, if you're of the mind that the results of your job, your work, whether a field goal goes in or doesn't go in, is beyond your control, and it's already predestined, predetermined by some sort of plan. Don't you think that about everything in your life?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe this was, he was also predestined to, and I don't know if he believes he has free will, is what I'm saying.
I think he does, otherwise his training regimen would be all screwed up. You know what I mean? The working hard to get where he is.
He didn't. Remember, he didn't want to come downtown to practice because he didn't like traffic.
Well, I mean, traffic is, that's a beast, you know? I mean, just, I get that. We've all been there.
Yeah, don't forget that. That he had to be shamed into practicing at Soldier Field because there were too many cars.
Well, that tradition of going down, just to play devil's advocate,
not
here,
like the tradition of driving
no,
home.
No, not that
that's
tradition.
That's a tradition unlike any other. Yeah.
It is what it is. You hear the Augusta music on the whole way drive. That had been abandoned by kickers prior to Robbie Gould, though. I mean, it's not as though this was this long-standing thing where you get into the special teams room and know.
The Butler did it.
Before. That was prior to. That was an antecedent of.
Yeah, I don't
Ball.
Know. If,
I mean, like,
I don't remember
things
if Jeff
fall
Jager
by the wayside.
Did it or not. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's
but if
just,
you know you were having problems and then you know, I don't go there. There's too much traffic, so I don't really bother.
Honest to God, I think when he was asked about it, that was the first time he thought about it, about going down to Soldier Field. I swear to you, I think that. I don't think Cody Parkey is this dastardly mustache-twisting villain who's seeing a way to go on national television while on his way out from the Bears.
There was somebody...
I'm sorry. I'm not seeing that behind those eyes.
Now, of course, the Snidely Whiplash reference you make about the mustache-twisting villain, there was something I read. It was a friend of mine who was trying to explain that to somebody, and the person thought that phrase was the villain was twisting other mustaches, and that was his villainy. That it wasn't sort of this affectation of twisting one's own villainous mustache. The actual villainy was taken out by twisting others' mustaches.
That was the worst Adam West Batman episode of the entire series run.
Christian downtown, you're on The Score.
Hi, this is Christian.
That's why I said
what's
that.
Up?
What's up, man?
So I'm going to – I think my point on Cody Parkey is I think he means well, you know, good, Christian. I like what you said about the predestined free will, but I think at a point in time, I saw videos of him practicing hitting a pole, hitting the uprights. I think it's a mental issue once you hit the field goal that many times.
You can't try to do what he did.
I mean, when you're aiming and then it hits the uprights, like, at that many times during the season, at that point when you finally hit it when it matters, it's like this is a mental issue.
All right, we'll take that under advisement. Thank you.
I don't think that practicing by hitting a light post actually means that you're going to hit more posts.
Robbie Gould did it before every single game.
I don't think that that's a thing.
Robbie Gould would stand 90 degrees like on the actual end line there, the back of the goal line, and his pregame practice wasn't over until he put it off the side of the upright. So
the near post?
Yeah,
you're saying he's parallel to...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He would go down to the corner at the end line and then try to actually finish his practice by hitting the post.
Steph Curry took the routine from Robbie Gould.
Obviously. Yeah, that's where he got it. I mean, look, the fact is Cody Parkey was an 86% field goal kicker up until the 2018 season. Then he hit 76% of his kicks, six uprights, two of them in a divisional, in a wild card game.
In Decatur, it is Steve on the score.
Hello.
Steve, what's up?
Yes. If my memory serves me correct, on the Eagles, one of the Eagles scoring drives, there were two penalties.
Yes.
One was a personal foul penalty when one of the defensive backs hit the receiver.
Adrian Amos hit Zach Ertz in the noggin.
Yes, and that, if he hadn't have done that, that would have brought up a 4th and 12.
Where are you going with this?
Today, Junior!
I'm saying that if he hadn't have done that, the Eagles might not have been able to score.
Okay, we're not doing Bears Monday again.
No, we did that. There were a lot of factors that came into Cody Parkey missing that kick, but you got a kick on the leg of an 86% field goal kicker up to this year, and he missed it from 43.
Maybe Bears Monday just got down to Decatur, the original home of what became your Chicago Bears. Not sure. Top of the hour, we've got baseball talk, the latest on the pursuit of Manny Machado by the White Sox, Bryce Harper by everybody. There seems to be a lot of optimism surrounding the possibility of the White Sox landing Machado. I don't know if it's informed optimism or not. It may be optimism for optimism's sake, but it's palpable.
Yes, I'm grabbing onto it in this cold, cold winter without any kind of football whatsoever to actually enjoy. I'm grabbing the optimism, harnessing it, and then riding it around.
And we have chances for you, three of them, to win $1,000 in cash. You have to be listening for those opportunities today. It's a Friday on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, I didn't make that up. Dowell Loggins is interviewing to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. They're not doing that, right?
Courtesy interview. He's in-house. He's there. Ownership has some spare time.
But it's kind of known he was going to go with Adam Gase anyway.
Oh, not if he gets the big chair.
Who wants those jobs? I mean, what kind of concessions? I mean, if we've seen... You know, coaches already, like Vic Fangio, you know, we heard the reports that he's going to have to. I mean, he took Gary Kubiak. He's John Elway's calling more of the shots. You've got an established 60-year-old defensive coordinator who's done all the time in the league and put together the league's number one defense and put it together over the last 4 years. That guy has to accept concessions on his head coaching job. What kind of concessions are you going to have to take in Miami?
I don't know.
Where there is no structure, there are no players.
Meddling owner.
And a meddling owner, and you're probably going to also have to accept Ryan Tannehill as your solution at quarterback for at least a season or two.
You got to really, really, really want to be a head coach in the NFL.
You have to have a solution to all those problems. I mean, that's what you've got to come in there with.
Yeah, maybe blows him away in the interview and the diminutive one ends up in charge of the Dolphins prowling the sidelines with his visor on. I don't know. Hey, great catch by a texter. Is it Muskie Pete?
Muskie Pete. I think he's right. He thinks that train...
And Pete doesn't fish for Muskie. He himself is just Muskie.
It's a little Muskie.
Yeah.
He thinks that the sound effect is from My Cousin Vinny.
I think it is, too.
When the train rolls by the hotel room and the thing falls off the nightstand and Pesci can't just do it anymore.
It's not a train wreck.
I think that's what it is.
It's not an accident. Because if you're going to use train wreck sound effects, you use The Fugitive, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your definitive cinematic train wreck, right?
I mean, otherwise,
well, there's been plenty of cinematic train wrecks,
right? I mean, at Heaven's Gate, but because I don't remember at the end of Runaway Train if there is or Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer. I don't think it crashes in Snowpiercer. You've got the back to the Future.
Oh, Silver
3.
Streak.
You got Back to the Future 3.
Silver Streak.
I don't know.
Don't
that
give
I've
me that look. Oh,
Silver
don't
Streak.
No. Don't give me
no,
that look.
I don't think I've seen Silver
really?
Streak. Silver Streak is that a Nick Nolte?
No,
who's
it's a Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor. You've never seen?
No,
Silver Streak?
I've never seen Silver Streak. My God, and look, it's Wilder. I love Wilder.
It's Pryor.
Oh my God, this is well. Now I've booked up about 2.5 hours
at the
of
cast.
My weekend. It's fantastic,
and it's Patrick McGowan as a villain. He's fabulous. Jill Clayburgh is in it. It is.
How have I not seen this?
It's a distillation of the 1970s, is what it is. It's almost a perfect 1970s movie.
I've always wanted the 70s to be distilled for me. I've been trying to do it myself all these years. I didn't know there was a movie that would do it for me.
I can't believe you've never seen it. And it ends.
I can. I just, it's 76. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm in. I'll watch it.
And it ends with a, you know, spoiler alert, with a crash, where the train crashes through the train station at the end. And I want to say it was a decommissioned Chicago station of some kind. I've heard there's some story as to when they, right before they demolished it, they said, wait, let's make it, if we got this thing here, you're going to demolish it anyway, let's crash a train into it. Everybody said, cool. Joel on the South Side, you're on the Score. Hey, Joel.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yes, I'm calling because you brought up a very good point earlier in the season, and this caught me off guard when Cody Parker was missing the field goals, and he was asked by a reporter in the locker room, have you ever practiced at Soldier Field kicking? He stated no. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got a $9 million guaranteed contract, but you never practice your craft at your home field to understand the wind, to understand the field. I just thought that was very strange. And to me, that should have sent up some red flags to management that, man, does this guy really care about what he does? Because to me, if you're on a practice field kicking, that's fine. But when you get into a game time situation at Soldier Field.
Yes, Joel, again, we talked about this at the time.
With Patrick Manley, too.
Yeah, we had long discussions about this. Obviously, it would be, and eventually he realized it too and then started practicing at Soldier Field.
Bam!
Oh, yeah,
that's
by the way.
That's all there is to it.
Thanks for this.
That's all there is to it. A winner!
Just like the upright, the Cody Parker train is never late. Mm-hmm. I wonder, too, though, this is why the Bears have to be upset with the interview. Because we just got done with this.
Rip the scab off.
We did it. We did the 5 days. We have been in mourning. We tore the clothes, the whole thing. Like, we're good. We fixed this.
And then, covered the mirrors.
And
we got
out
the little chairs.
It's rending of garments, gnashing of teeth, tearing at beards, all of this. We did all this. And now he's on television. And Joel is calling us. And he's calling his friends. And he's calling Hallis Hall. And he's ticked off again that Cody didn't go down to Soldier Field to kick until he had already hit a couple uprights and missed some. What? Why go do this? This is why the organization is upset with you. And furthermore,
it's not news. It's also not interesting. I don't know to whom this is interesting. I'm still trying to figure out whether
that's what we could be wrong. We just may not. You and I just may not understand the audience of the Today Show.
I guess I don't.
I mean, I don't know. Not that we don't understand. But who they are, like literally what the audience is made up of and what they're looking to see in a morning. Maybe that's what they wanted to see.
Yeah, the only time I
have no idea.
I was a regular Today Show viewer in like grade school. I would watch Jane Pauley and Tom Brokaw, and then the local cut-ins were handled by a very young and very attractive Deborah Norville.
Huh.
Who was working for Channel 5
at
the
time. And this worked for you at the moment.
Yeah.
So this is like preschool watching?
Yeah.
You were watching the Today Show before going to school?
Yep.
Really?
I would eat a can of chunky soup and get a little extra homework
soup
done.
Soup before school?
Yes. For whatever reason, I eschewed normal breakfast food.
Unless, like, you buried the lead.
What is wrong
with
you? Yeah,
my regular breakfast was either a can of the bright yellow Franco-American macaroni and cheese that I would make in a little saucepan, or I would have an entire can of chunky sirloin burger soup.
You did breakfast wrong.
I think I might have.
Yeah, you definitely did.
That was my breakfast every day.
Eat what you want. Drink your drink. That's fine. It's just weird to me that was where you were headed.
You
grew up in a different era, though. Like Rick and Jay and I, we had toaster strudels and like the breakfast foods that were available to us at the time. I mean, you just popped it in the toaster oven. You didn't even need parents.
Dan's been 40 for 30 years.
You didn't need him.
No, I really liked chunky sirloin burger soup, and it was there one day, and I had a taste for it, and then I said, okay, I'm going to do this every day.
Every day.
It's before they change the burgers. The burgers are not as good now. The burgers are not, they're completely different. They cheaped out on the burgers and they made it more of like a hydrolyzed soy protein filler kind of thing. When it first came out, those were actual chunks of 100% ground beef.
Right, with tons of hormones pumped right into the cow.
And the best thing were they had grill marks on them.
Yeah, those were naturally acquired, right? Those were like drawn on with a Sharpie and dropped into the can.
But that was they've changed it. The soup is not what it was. It used to be something very, very special, and now it is much less special. You know what we have for you coming up next?
What is it?
We've got the latest on MLB Hot Stove, everything that's going on. We can talk about the Cubs, the White Sox, and all else with John Morosi of MLB Network. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago. It's Rosen Hyundai Algonquin's 2018 clearance event. Save on all remaining 2018 Konas, Tucson's, and Santa Fe's. Or save time and shop online at RosenHyundai.com.
Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen, Rosen, Rosen. Rosen!
If you are doing it right, you're spending a third of your life in your sheets. You know, I didn't say on your mattress. I didn't say if you had on your pillow. You might have a great mattress and a great pillow. It doesn't matter if you have substandard sheets, and life is too short for that. And you're maybe thinking, oh, my sheets are fine. Bernstein, shut up. I thought so, too. I thought my sheets were fine. I was finally convinced that luxury bedding mattered. And I wish that Brooklinen.com had been around when we were shopping for sheets, because we did the whole sheet shopping thing where you have to hear about proper thread count and the types of cotton. That's the really cool thing about Brooklinen.com is they've taken all that out. You just go there to Brooklinen.com and you click around. You look at the style that you want. You know the size of your bed. Next thing you know, you are sleeping on luxury sheets, the quality of a five-star resort. You know that feeling? You're like, oh, it's a great wish we had this at home. That's the point of Brooklinen.com. So you should do this. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable that I've slept on. It is time for your upgrade, because Brooklinen.com is giving this exclusive offer to you just because you're listening. $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code DAN at Brooklinen.com. And Brooklinen is so sure that you're going to love their products that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is the promo code DAN at Brooklinen.com. So do this. Brooklinen.com. Promo code DAN. It's Brooklinen, and these really are the best sheets ever.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.